Get ready to hear plenty of softball. Ken Erickson and his valuable assistant coach, Tommy Santiago, had a chance to speak to both, and you'll hear those conversations today. Of course, the Bulls getting set to take on the Florida Gators and hopefully advance to the next round of the NCAA tournament. We'll give you the whole setup. In fact, Friday's show will break down all of the possible opponents. Of course, Florida is definitely the first opponent, and you'll hear it starting at 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon live on USF Bulls Unlimited. Baylor and South Alabama are the other two teams. Naturally, the Bulls will be playing one or maybe both of them at some point, so we'll let you know a little bit about them on Friday's show. There will not be a show Thursday, various reasons. First of all, playing a little musical cars at the house. We're helping somebody out with my car, so it's been pretty hectic trying to figure out how to get certain places. Secondly, of course, Thursday is the doubleheader for baseball, and yours truly will be on the call for that. Bulls against East Carolina, and since it's an early start, normally a doubleheader would start maybe on a weekend, certainly not on a Thursday early in the afternoon like this one. And so I really need to devote that time to prepping for that whole broadcast, and of course the Thursday Bulls beat would normally be a preview of the series, so we'll kind of just preview that in the pregame, so make sure you tune in at the right time on Thursday. We'll tell you more about baseball in our second segment, a little bit about the opponent, the Pirates, but also, what you might not know, what I didn't know, honestly, until yesterday when I talked to head coach Billy Moll about some of the travel issues they've had getting back from their last two road series. Trust me, he is a little bit tired, but you would be too, and you probably will be after you hear what they've gone through. Hopefully, they'll be fully alert. I think they will be in time for Thursday's action. We'll also give you a little intel on some new members of a couple of teams, track and field and women's soccer. And I think in one of the more enjoyable sound clips you'll hear on this show, it's not me, it's somebody else. Trust me, that's coming up in our next block. Also on this Wednesday, we'll finish up the hour with Around the American, and great news for one of the teams in the conference already advancing to the NCAA championships in men's golf. Unfortunately, the USF squad had a very tough end to its second round, put itself in a very difficult position to try and advance, but we'll still lay that out for you in our next segment. Now on to softball. Before you hear my chats with the head coach and assistant coach, of course, the Bulls were one of the last teams in the field. We've talked about that, but really getting some more insight. The Bulls definitely benefited from a couple of things. This is a team that we all know has an amazing ace pitcher, Georgina Corrick. Certainly was in the big-time hunt for the NCAA tournament automatic bid if they'd been able to secure that number one seed. And, well, they were a couple of wins in the last weekend over a team from Orlando from being able to do that. Ended up as the number two seed and lost to UCF in the semifinal while Wichita took the conference tournament. So it's not like the Bulls didn't have some sort of hope for an NCAA tournament bid. It just seemed like they were not going to be able to score it because of the way their season ended, namely three losses in four games to the Knights, then that conference tournament loss. However, other factors that are a little bit unusual for this last year actually probably helped the Bulls, as we told you. Getting a four seed means they got one of the last spots, if not the last spot in the tournament. I have to say, I'm pretty sure they didn't get the last spot, but still there were other things that happened that opened up the chance for them to get in. I really didn't know this until talking to Tommy Santiago. He mentioned the name Kennesaw State. Now, I got to admit, this sort of slipped by me. They are one of those teams that's playing as a four seed and looks like a four seed without doing any extra research. They're playing Florida State. That's the regional that Auburn and UCF are also in. Funny enough, Kennesaw State has a win over Auburn and a win over UCF this year. They played a lot of teams from the SEC, didn't win many of those games, but they were below 500. Going into the Atlantic Sun tournament, but their RPI is in the low 50s, a little bit better than the Bulls. They were actually 22-23, made it to the championship game at the Atlantic Sun, lost to a very good Liberty team 5-4. They got beat by Liberty twice. It's actually kind of unbelievable that Kennesaw State made the tournament as an at-large from the Atlantic Sun with a 26-25 record. So when you see a team like that getting in, you know that the Bulls getting in is not quite as much of a shocker because the American was fifth as far as RPI goes. And Northwestern was that other, of course, number four seed that didn't win its conference tournament. So those were the last three teams in the field in whatever order. I'm going to guess that the Bulls were the second to last team selected right in front of Kennesaw State. But a couple factors I mentioned. One, hey, simply enough, the Ivy League not contesting any sports this year. That left one extra at-large spot open because the Ivy League of course, didn't have its automatic bid taken up. And then the Big Ten, this was very interesting. Their decision to just play conference games, no non-conference, really hurt that league because you only had three teams sort of stand out. And oh yeah, a conference like the SEC chewed up a bunch of spots and got a lot of national attention. Before we hear from the Bulls coaches, I told you I'd have some interesting comments from the Arizona head coach, legend Ken Kendria, who's a good buddy of Coach Erickson's. This was on Arizona's post-NCAA tournament bracket unveil. I hinted at this on yesterday's show. Washington, which was the runner-up to UCLA, got a 16 seed, and they knew that they'd be getting announced at some point. And when the ESPN2 cameras showed their room as their name was getting announced at a seed they didn't really want, well, you could see one player sort of start to get up, and then she got up and everybody followed her. They walked out. That's what Coach Kendria of Arizona references here. And this really makes you appreciate what we have with ESPN Plus and the American, although he's specifically talking about the SEC getting a lot more attention than a conference like the Pac-12 that didn't seem to get much notoriety. And again, we're talking about seeding. The Pac-12 has 9 teams for softball. Of course, why would they have 12? And only 6 of them were above 500. The rest had no chance at an at-large. He's talking more about the seeds that the conference got.
I wish I was in the room to hear the conversations, which makes it tough for me to say things, but I know our conference, and I know our conference is much better than what it was shown today. And it irritates me. You know, I mean, I kind of felt like Washington when they walked out. I thought that was just probably the right thing to do at that time, because it just doesn't make sense. And there's too much influence right now and too much self-promoting that somehow the Pac-12 is going to have to wake up, and we're going to find a way to match that. And I just really believe that throughout the years right now, the Pac-12 network hasn't really helped our case. We need to look at what do we need to do to get our people in front of everyone else, you know, the audience that needs to be in front of. And to me, that's the next step in our conference right now, is to fix what we have, because it's broken right now. It is a conference of champions, but you can't just sit on a conference of champions. We've got to do much more. And when I turn on the SEC network, they've got a show that looks like ESPN, and they've got every highlight of every game going on in baseball and softball. I mean, it's a big production, and obviously that's going to catch eyes. And unfortunately, you know, you turn on the Pac-12 network right now, and all you see is a bunch of replays of games that have already been done. And people are smart enough right now to know that because of social media. They're pretty updated on things. And it's pretty prehistoric right now, and we need to do something to fix it.
I don't get the Pac-12 network. Arizona is a number 11 seed, if you're curious. They do have an SEC team in their regional, Ole Miss. They square off possibly at Arkansas if they advance through their regional, so they'll play the SEC. And one last point as to what helped the Bulls get one of those final spots. Ole Miss is playing Villanova. Oh yeah, that's a team that was going to the NCAA tournament regardless had it won the Big East Conference tourney or not. They had to go to Storrs, Connecticut to win the conference tournament. Of course, that's where it was being held. They had to beat UConn twice out of the loser's bracket. They had to actually win 4 straight games. If that did not happen, whoever had won the conference tournament, UConn was in the advantage. They only had a 22-20 record. DePaul was another possibility. Would have made it 2 teams from the Big East, and then who knows if the Bulls get in. So, okay, they're fortunate maybe with some other things going on, but they certainly did enough good work to not seem like some sort of outsider team. Although, if you noticed, me on Twitter, you know, NCAA put out an article about, hey, here are the 64 teams, and here's a fact about each of them. Problem was, both facts they put out about the Bulls were wrong. Had their name as the Jaguars and said they had never advanced out of the regional, which, as you know, making the 2012 College World Series. That got corrected. I also noticed that Wichita State didn't quite get the proper mention, so I threw that out there. And they did, to their credit, correct that story. So if you go to my Twitter page, you'll see an updated link, which has, you know, a mention of Georgina Corrick, which they didn't the first time around. But anyway, the Bulls head coach, Ken Erickson, mentions Georgina Corrick, among other things. And he'll be followed up with my chat with assistant coach, Tommy Santiago. Enjoy.
With Ken Erickson, Coach, with you going into NCAA selections, mostly it's not if, but where you're going. But this was a little different. What was your outlook going into this weekend?
We're either going to go to Gainesville or Tallahassee. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think out of the last 12 NCAA tournaments, we've taken I-75, either get off at exit 42 or 68. I'm not really sure what it is. But, I mean, the great part about our sport is that you've got to win, you know, against whoever you're up against in that first one, and then get to the next one. It's, you know, you hear basketball coaches talk about survive in advance. And when you have a pitching staff and you're trying to work the puzzles together, you're just trying to get through the first inning of the NCAA tournament. And then, you know, the stuff happens in between that and the seventh inning. And so we're just hoping to play good ball. And you find a seam, and if you're hot, you're hot. And if you're not, you got to work harder. And that's it. So the nice part is when you have a Georgina Quirk on the mound, you're in the game with everybody every day.
Oh, you could certainly see that. Yeah. Was there any moments of hesitation going into Sunday night, though? Were you a little bit concerned, or did you have a good feeling about getting the bid?
No, I had a pretty good feeling, simply for the fact is that our numbers were really good on paper in respect of who we played in the top 25, what we did against top 25 teams, what we did against top 50 teams. And, you know, we were one of the few teams in the country that lost 12 to 14 games because of COVID and not rescheduling and not trying to buy a weekend with having teams come in. And I thought we stayed the course with our plan pretty well, stayed healthy the whole season. And our conference is the fifth highest RPI conference in the country. So, you know, that plays into a lot of things. And this year was a really good indication of how to manipulate the RPI, though. You had teams that played a lot of teams in the 100 to 200 range, and they won a lot of games. But, you know, the committee took a look at the strength of schedule. The committee took a look at what your efforts were against top-notch teams. And, like I said, I felt pretty good going in.
How do you feel about this group of teams? You need to know a lot about your first opponent. Do you know much about a team that you'll probably end up playing, one of the other two or both?
You know, they got a guy on every one of their teams that throws it 43 feet across the plate. They're darn good. You know, the 64 teams that are in the tournament at the end, they've earned the right to be there. And now they're trying to earn the right to play on Sunday to get to the next weekend. So if you're going to watch softball all year long, this is the weekend to watch it. You've got 64 of the best teams in the country by far. Outpace everybody else, and it's good to see that we're still included in that dance, you know.
I remember the last time we left off in Gainesville, I'll be there, I was there, and you made a point about Vivian throwing strikes in that second game. It's something that George struggled with. Yeah. I mean, you got to feel good if you can maintain sort of where you left off a little bit.
Well, I agree with you. You know, you have to pound the zone. If you give good teams extra at-bats and extra pitches, you know, they're going to take advantage of that. That's coach speak if you want to hear it, but it's really the truth when it comes to empirical data, is try to limit the opportunities for the other team. It's kind of like football. If you hold the ball and you're on offense, or rather, you know, you're on offense, you don't let the other team get on offense and score. So, you know, our job is to make sure that we control the controllables, and that's the strike zone, because we have a pitcher that can do that, and then catch the ball when it's hit to us. And then when we hit it, just run your butt off, make a left three times, and we're okay. Yeah.
Last thing, I mean, it was great to see Brooke get a hit and maybe some of the veterans carry over. Mm-hmm. I know that they weren't positive that they'd still be playing. Do you get the sense that you guys, I'm not going to say have nothing to lose, obviously, but have a little bit of less weight on your shoulders this weekend?
Well, you know, ball players are fatalists. Right? I mean, they really are, right? I mean, coaches are the positive people, and players are the fatalists of like, oh my gosh, you know, I hope. And I think once you start to mature, and that's where they're starting to get to right now, is you become more of a, okay, let's just go play. You know, let's put the uniform on. Not like it's the last time, but like it's the first time we put the uniform on, you know, as 6, 7, 8 year olds, and enjoy each other and enjoy the company. And when you do that and you look around and you enjoy your surroundings, I'm telling you, good things happen.
All right. Well, enjoy this weekend. We'll see you.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate it.
With the OC of the softball team, Tommy Santiago, who's been in some dramatic games lately. Gosh, it doesn't seem to end, so I'm glad. I'm assuming you're very glad to get more chances. Were you, Coach Erickson was feeling pretty optimistic about you guys getting on the bracket, but what about you?
Yeah, first and foremost, we're happy that we got in the regional, and it's pretty – we're blessed. You know, we're happy. We're humbled by it, and, you know, we get a chance to play. You know, happy for the seniors to get another weekend to play ball.
One thing that he said was the conference being fifth in the RPI is essentially what got you in, among other reasons, obviously. But going through the conference this year, do you think it's got you pretty well prepared for what's coming up next?
Well, absolutely. Our conference, you know, day in, day out, when you played that 4-game set, you know, you had to bring it every single day. So our conference, definitely prepared us for where we need to be. And, you know, the early schedule with Florida and Arizona, we played some top-tier teams, which also, you know, provide you with experience. And then the USA team where some amazing pitching there. So, once again, you go into Gainesville, we've seen it all. There's no big philosophy change or anything. We're just going to have some fun and just compete and go get it.
Does seem like watching you guys, you do have a lot of fun. Let me ask you about in-game adjustments and how much you talk to the players, because I didn't have volume in Tulsa in the second game, but it looked like the lefties had to adjust to a certain outside zone. How much do you talk to the players about that stuff?
Really, not much. Not much. I mean, the work's done before the game. I mean, if we're looking for mechanical adjustments in game, we're late to the party. So a lot of this is done beforehand, and then, you know, you give them a little quick, you know, adjustment, little things, but we don't want to flood too much because we just like to keep it 1+1 and keep it simple.
Interesting. One thing that, of course, emerged as you got into conference and really at the top of the lineup with Alexis, did you guys see here at the beginning of the year maybe being a candidate to be the leadoff hitter, and just discuss how you got it rolling at the top now with Kendall in the three spot?
Yeah. So Alexis Johns, you know, she comes in, she calls me in the fall, and then we get her as a transfer, and I remember watching her when she was younger, you know, in high school. And I told Kenny, hey, this is a good chance to get this kid and add some speed to the lineup. And then she came in, and I mean, she took it, you know, started in the 8-9 hole, and then we started putting her at one, and she hasn't looked back. So with her and Bruni in the top, and then the way Kendall's swinging it, we set the table pretty well, and we have been, you know, most of the season.
And then in the middle, of course, BK has been tremendous all year. Yeah. I like what I saw with Brooke Hartman, you know, for her to come on and do what she did, not just the home run, but, you know, seems like she's still engaged. How important is the middle of the lineup these days?
Absolutely, you know, and it's good to see BK, you know, turn in a corner and Brooke Hartman finally getting that 100th hit. You know, I know that was something on her mind. Every time you hit those milestones, it kind of wears on you a little bit, but you know, she's free and easy. BK's free and easy, and that's what we want him to be. We don't want him to be so consumed with noise. Like, leave the noise alone and just play ball.
And then last one, in that middle of the order, who has just, you know, you look at her numbers and she's not going to jump out at me. You can see the at-bats. You can see even when she's not getting hits, sacrifice flies. I'm talking about your freshman catcher, Josie Foreman. Mm-hmm. People might not realize she was pretty prodigious as far as power in high school, and she's gotten right in there too.
Well, here's a kid that jumps right in and hits a walk-off against Tulsa, calling her own games. This is something that's not really noticed and it's not in the box score. But for a freshman to come out and call her own game with an All-American pitcher, I mean, it's phenomenal. And she needs that credit, too. So right now she's not playing as a freshman. She's playing as a crafty veteran right now and doing some good things. And she'll learn, you know, along the way, with her hitting. You know, that's a work in progress like everybody else. But we got nothing but confidence in that kid moving forward.
And last thing about the confidence, maybe going into the end of the season, you guys were expected to win conference, maybe a little pressure. Do you feel that's kind of lifted now? And like you say, free and easy more than normal?
Yeah, pressure is what you put on yourself, right? We don't talk about pressure situations. It's a phrase that's used quite a bit. We try and tell them it's opportunity. So if you got an opportunity to do something in a game, then go ahead. That's opportunity. It's not pressure. So they've adapted to that, and we've had our little ups and downs in the season. But for right now, I thought they did a great job this season, and we're just going to move it into Gainesville.
I love it. Thanks, Tommy.
You got it.
And you'll get much more on the other teams on Friday's Bulls Beat. But on this version, we come back with baseball, along with men's golf and some new members of the track and field and women's soccer squads. Stay tuned.